Welcome back to episode 3 of Cam's Corner. Now, I know I released my first two episodes like last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. So I apologize about just the slight little delay because, like I said, I was going to have these podcasts coming out very frequently, two times a week, one time a week if, you know, my week gets a little busy or something comes up. So I do apologize about that, but I'm here. We're back at it, and I got y'all. I think we got a pretty good episode today, as you can already see by the time. I feel like I should just kind of start the podcast with what the topic is today because you're already reading it. You're already seeing it. Like, you already know what it is. So why am I going to sit here for 2 minutes with my little intro and then try to introduce the title? But nevertheless, I'm still figuring all this out. So I appreciate the patience for everyone that does listen. But as you can see, the title of this episode is Perseverance. And I think that word probably speaks volumes to many of us over centuries, over lifetimes of generations of just perseverance by individuals, by groups, by communities, by, you know, Mother Nature, perseverance. So that's going to be the topic today. But one thing I do want to point out is for the people that view this on YouTube, you see that in the little intro, there is a little small little video clip of like tea being poured. And that's because I want to incorporate tea within the podcast. Now, not like we're going to talk about tea or anything like that, but I want to say maybe 2 years, I've been taking more of a liking to tea. More natural, herbal, kind of a replacement for coffee or pretty much any type of drink there is. And I kind of want to just be able to share the Cam's Corner. Like I said, you know, first episode, really, like, this whole thing is my mind. It's my journaling. It's going to be the most important project that I do for a while, at least. And tea is a consistent part of my day, so I just want to bring it onto the podcast now. So what I have here is it's actually a blend of chamomile and then organic peach green. So it's like hints of peach and cucumber as well, like with some green and black tea. So pretty interesting little combination of tea. I'm gonna see if it's ready. It's probably not ready. Oh no, yeah, that's good. Ooh. Oh yeah. Okay, let me stop because I know on a podcast that probably sounded a little creepy, a little weird. But and then I also always mix a little bit of honey in as my sweetener, natural sweetener for my tea. So that's really good. That's getting me going. I'm a little under the weather, so that's really helping out a lot. But let's get right into it. So obviously we know that Cameron always is going to start and end his podcast off with another thing that he loves so much, which is music. So today's song of the day is going to be Ramen and OJ. Yeah, you heard me right. Ramen and OJ. That is by Joyner Lucas and Little Baby. And I think it actually goes well into what the topic is of, like, perseverance. The overall song, but if anyone's watching this, anyone's listening to this, it's not that, like, ramen is necessarily, like, a struggle food, but let's be honest, it really is a struggle food. It's a struggle dish. Now, I'm not talking about ramen, like traditional, like real ramen, but we're talking about, like, you know, we're talking about, you go to Walmart, you go to whatever corner store, whatever, and you get the little packet of ramen or a cup of noodles for like 30 cent. We're talking about that ramen. I'm not talking about true, real, authentic, fresh broth and throwing vegetables and meat. We're not talking about that type of ramen. We're talking about 30 cent packs of ramen. The whole thing is pretty much just salt. That's all it is. It's salt. There's no real noodles. It's just salt. And then pairing that with, you know, OJ. So it's just kind of being, they're going back to their, like, not going back, but they're thinking about their old days when they were in that struggle and they were going through that struggle, but they're fighting to not be back in that situation again. Like, so I remember where I come from, and I appreciate what was on the table for us to eat, to drink, whatever the shelter was, but I'm not going back to that. I'm going to keep hustling. I'm going to go beyond that. So that's kind of the overall context of the song. Really good song. Really, really, really good song. I love Joyner. I love Lil Baby. And by the way, you know, I don't, though, there's a lot of people that I've been seeing saying that Lil Baby is falling off. Okay, I just want to address this a little bit because, you know, like Camp's Corner, my mental thoughts and everything. The one thing I really don't appreciate when it comes to people's opinions on, and I guess it's more so for music, more so than any other art form or art genre, but when someone is not making consistent music, all of a sudden they fall off. And when I say consistent music, I mean, like, they make a project. We're just going to use, like, a 12-month span. They make a project in January. It drops. And then they go on tour in, let's say, May. And then they're on tour until, what, probably, like, July-ish. And that's if it's just, like, a U.S. tour. If it's a world tour, it's probably going one extra month just to accommodate, you know, Europe, Australia, all that, yada, yada. And then you don't hear from them. They may do like some features here and there, but then you don't hear from them like as a project or a song from them until the following year, like July. And then the song may not be what you wanted to hear. And then it's like, oh man, they fell off. Oh, where they at? Where they been at? Dude, like they need to, like, you know, like, first off, musicians are human beings. And the way that they have to write, and I know some people have songwriters and whatnot, but the way that you have to write, and let's get this right, most artists write a good amount of their songs overall, because a lot of that stuff does come from stories that they're telling. They may have help in how to word things, but like most of the time they're telling these stories that's happened to them over childhood, over teenage years, over the adolescent years, things that they've experienced, being an adult, being in the industry, whatever the case is. And all of that stuff takes time. That takes away from you to sit there, mentally focus yourself for like 2 months of writing, and then going and recording all of this, mastering all of this, staying up late hours of the night, day in and day out, and it's never perfect. You need to understand that about musicians, any artist for that fact, but nothing's ever perfect. So they have to turn that switch off. Like, all right, this song is done. I need to not touch. I need to not go back and listen to it because I'm going to hear something that I think is not good. And then to go on tour, to go perform now all this music, and it's really not easy. It's a lot of sleepless nights, sleepless days for basically a whole year. Now, I know that may seem hard for people to think about, but like, your little life of your little 9-to-5 job, and I'm not trying to throw shade because I have a 9-to-5 job, but I can't stand people that come at artists and make it seem like they're falling off or where have they been, like they need to pick their game up. Like, what are you doing with your little McDonald's job? What are you doing with your little Walmart job? Are you picking your shit up? Are you doing more every single day to further yourself? Are you taking care of the things that you need to take care of? No. Nah, you just want to sit there. You want to troll. You want to have an opinion. You want to be a person that starts some type of debate. So, like, you want to get garnered some attention, some views, some light. That's all you're doing. You're not furthering the mission. You're not furthering the human race. You're not pushing the envelope. You're not pushing the agenda. So let's chill and let's stop with all this. Musicians or artists are falling off, or they're dropping off because something doesn't sound like the past, because they're also growing themselves, or you just don't hear from them in what you think should be a consistent time span. So I know that was a little I kind of went in a little bit right there, so I do apologize. But nevertheless, though, this is all about really perseverance, though, at the end of the day. So, and we know where I'm headed now is just the overall definition, though, of what perseverance is. So perseverance, continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. The action or condition or an instance of persevering. So that's pretty. So is that that is just literally the only definition, which, you know, that's it's perfect. So here we go. What's my definition, or how do I define perseverance? It's actually really simple. Never give up. I mean, it's literally as simple as never giving up, never say never. Shout out to Justin Bieber, Jaden Smith, if anyone knows that reference. But perseverance has always just been about, regardless of whatever is happening around you or to you, you're constantly trying to move forward. Not in the sense of that you are moving forward, but you're just trying to move forward. And, you know, even within the definition of stating that, regardless of what the difficulties are, the oppositions are, or failures are, like, you persist. I continue to persist. And I think it speaks more volume to the character you are, for the failures, the oppositions, and the difficulties that you face, and how you overcome those things. And I don't think it's necessarily just about overcoming these things, but I also think it's to do with learning from these situations, or you know, the problems or the difficulties that you may face. Obviously, I know that we all know people, or we've all been in that situation before, where we feel like we failed at something that we were really trying at too, and it hurt our motivation, it hurt our spirit, like our determination to continue to keep moving forward. And that is, it is rough. I think that that's actually, it's a, as human beings, that it's a hard emotion to basically learn from, you know, which failure within itself is you didn't accomplish whatever your goal was. You know, whatever it is that you set out to do, you didn't do it. You failed at it. But you learn from that, so that the next time that it comes around, or the next time you're in that situation, you have that knowledge now. And, you know, and then obviously, as you get older and older, that's where the wisdom now comes in, because you've been through it, and you can look at and assess a situation in more of a wise stance than, you know, someone who is younger per se, and hasn't went through those failures, haven't went through those difficulties. But, you know, I always thought that perseverance was something that you could only obtain, not really obtain, because I feel like the idea of perseverance is, I kind of feel like perseverance itself is more of a verb. It's kind of an action. You're doing it. You're going through it. But I always kind of assume that perseverance was, you could only kind of capture that from life experiences. And I know a lot of people probably listen to this like, oh, they have, well, yeah, it's as you go through things, as you experience things, you may fail at some things, you may not succeed at some things, and then, you learn. But no, I, as time has went on, I've kind of learned that perseverance is all around us. We're always witnessing it. It's almost like we are, people say that how we're like in a simulation and stuff like that. Like we're a part of that system of where perseverance breathes. And what I mean by that is think of who inspires you. Think of who motivates you or who makes you want to be a better version of yourself or who makes you want to be a better version of whatever it is you're trying to be. If that's a photographer, videographer, a podcaster, a chef, a doctor, a mechanic, a makeup artist, a stylist, whatever the profession is, whatever the case is, who think of who is who you feel makes you better in that way. And when you hear their stories or you hear the trials and tribulations that this individual may have had to go through, problems they had to face, you internalize those things. And sometimes that gives you the perseverance as well. You may not have went through something yet in your life, in your professional life, in your personal life, whatever the case is, but from those individuals that you look up to, you look at their struggles, their quote unquote failures, and you also internalize that and you kind of learn from that as well. I think that's the biggest plus to the idea of perseverance is it can be learned. It doesn't necessarily have to be felt individually or personally to you. Now, don't get me wrong, I think is that the best way for perseverance to live, breathe, and exist within us? Yes, I wholeheartedly believe that that is the best form, which is for us to actually go through something and for I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I know this is so unprofessional right now, but Mia Moore is calling. Baby. Baby, I'm in the middle of my podcast. I'm so sorry. I'm like literally in the whole middle, so I cannot start this over. So you're gonna be in episode 3 of me talking, but I'm gonna have to get off the phone so I can just finish this, okay? Baby, I cannot. I was gonna cook, so I can't really answer that right now. I'm kind of in a mode right now, babe. I cannot answer that. I'm so sorry. Okay, bye. Okay, well, that was Mia Moore. For all those people that don't know Spanish, my love, my heart. That was Jitty, my girlfriend. And I was in this. So she has called me before, and I pretty much started over because she called me within like the first like 3 minutes of the podcast. But I think now it's been, oh yeah, we've been a good like 20 minutes in. So, and I feel like I was in it, like we were doing good. And I'm not gonna cut that out because it's. And the thing too about it is my phone is always on for people that are like, oh, that's unprofessional. Like your phone should be off or it should be like away, whatever the case is. Well, I have my phone just because of emergencies. No matter what you're doing, that like emergency that comes first, But Jenny is the only one that has access to me throughout all of my like do not disturbs, my work mode. If I'm on vacation, I'm probably with her, but I have a vacation mode. I have a photo shoot mode, sleep mode, any mode. She's the only one that can actually call and get through to me. So that's my baby, and I love her. But yet she kind of made me forget exactly where I was at, but if I recall, I want to say that I was speaking on perseverance as a more a learned behavior versus an internalized behavior. And that me I do think overall that any form of not necessarily failures and difficulties, but overall for any bad situation to happen to us, that's the best way for us to learn. That's the way best way for us to move forward. And I know that that's hard for a lot of people because sometimes things happen constantly over and over to us, and or sometimes things happen to us emotionally, which that is a whole nother aspect of perseverance that is probably the hardest to overcome, you know? I'm gonna take a quick sip of tea before we get into this, 'cause oh my goodness. I really don't mean to be that person, but tea is just, oh, it literally is nature's true medicine. That and another thing that grows out of nature. Nature's true medicines. But so yeah, I think when it comes to, when it comes to emotional difficulties or failures per se, when we go through love loss or we go through pain that involves individuals who do hurt us, and I think emotionally is probably one of the hardest things to persevere through, just because when things happen to you emotionally, and if that's at the hands of abuse, if that's at the feeling of just like betrayal, miscommunication, like bad communication, like whatever the case is, those things create barriers. They create walls inside of us, and not just like to other people in trying to enter our life. No, it literally creates barriers within ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have access to who we are anymore just because we're now, we've, for most people out there, I'm sure you've experienced love loss or experience, I don't even want to say love loss. You've experienced like firsthand degree why love can hurt. And it's hard for me to try to truly explain that, but I know that when I say that, there are going to be people that completely understand what I mean when I'm saying that. So, so when we go through those things that really change us mentally, you ask yourself like, well, how am I supposed to persist through this? How am I supposed to like what like how do I get in touch with my true self to let myself know like this is a part of it. This is a part of life. Like you have to get through this. There is no answer. One thing that I can tell you that I really don't like are help seminars and, individuals who, no offense, hey, you make your money this way, and there is some truth to some of this, but individuals that like write books about love lost and how to get past the steps, the proper step. I really don't like any of that because A, it's also generalizing everybody into a certain category, which is we're all the same and this is how we move forward. No, everybody is not the same. Everyone doesn't love the same. Everyone's situation isn't the same. I'm not a, I was not always a good guy. I'm still trying to be a great guy, but I know good and well, and this is just me being honest with y'all. I could, there are, like off the top of my head, there are like three different girls that, now I never put my hands on a woman, never, ever, ever, ever. I would never do that. But there are like three different women that I treated all differently and probably broke their heart. Now, we don't need to get into the details. Like, yes, I've had my heart broken. I've been cheated on, and it probably rewired some stuff in me and made me lash out in a way that I should not have lashed out. But, you know, but I did that. At the end of the day, there's no excuses. I'm not victimizing myself. I'm not trying to put in perspective of, well, this happened to me, so I did this. Either way it goes, it's wrong. But I can count those instances, and things were done differently. Like my games were done differently. Emotional damage was done differently. There's no book that you could give all three of them and say, you follow these steps and you'll learn how to persevere through this. No. Perseverance literally comes from inside your own spirit. And I'm not talking about in a religious sense. I'm talking about that metaphysical part of you, that part of you that exists everywhere, not just how I'm just existing, like, you know, in this corner, you know, I have a camera set up, I have a microphone set up. No, my metaphysical, which exists everywhere, it understands when there are certain situations happening, what I should do, but I just ignore those signs. Well, I don't ignore those signs, but people ignore those signs. Those weird feelings that you get sometimes when you find yourself in a situation, or the people when they talk about red flags, like when you are meeting or talking to a new person and something is telling you, like, oh, you probably shouldn't be here, or no, this pro like that. That's your aura, that's your energy being aware of a situation, but then it's up to your physical aspect to actually take heed of that or to basically not listen to it at all. So I just feel like you can't sit down and educate someone on perseverance. That's not a thing. That's just not a thing. It's something that can be learned. And when I say, I know people are like, well, when you educate someone, they've learned something. No, not necessarily, because there's a lot of stuff in the streets that I can tell you about that's not educational, but you learn. And there's a lot of stuff that we could talk about from an educational standpoint where people don't learn a goddamn thing at all, but then you put somebody into, like, you know, an actual work environment of what they're doing, and they learn so much more than what the education system was supposed to educate them about. So, but we'll get into that too, like another day for sure. But to get back to that point though, you know, I don't think it's something that you can like educate someone on. You can't sit down, you can't open a book, you can't have a lesson plan and say, okay, well, when these certain things happen, this is how you persevere through it. I mean, now we're going from like the aspect of relationship, and let's go a little bit deeper now. Let's go through enslavement. I know, yeah, camera just got deep. And we're not just talking about the, because I'm more knowledgeable in the realm of slavery. Slaves weren't just the people that look like me. And obviously, for the people on the podcast, I'm black, if you didn't know. So, slaves weren't just black. There were slaves of all cons, every people. I really get a little, my gears grind a little bit when people just think that they're, you think of slavery and you're like, oh my God, yeah, black people. No. And no. We were probably some of the most newest forms of, we're probably some of the most youngest form of slaves. You know what I mean? Like, let's, like, going back, like, to, like, the Ming Dynasty times, like black people were relatively, like new to slavery, you know what I mean? And let's not talk about how Africans also had African slaves, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But think of the idea of perseverance in that time. You know what I mean? Like, how did they get through every single day? And not everyone did get through every single day. We know that. We know a lot of people died during enslavement times. If that was the transportation, if that was just the living conditions, whatever the case was, disobedience. And I have air quotes around disobedience for my podcast listeners. But, like, how did you expect those people to persevere through that? Now you're telling me that a book about perseverance, a five-step program of how to get through something? Nah. There's no chance in hell a book is going to teach someone that went through conditions psychologically, and think that after they get done reading this 200-page book, they will understand and know how to persevere through. No. Now, I think it helps more talking to an individual than for someone to think that I'm going to take everything that I've learned about a situation and put it into a realm where I feel like these are the best case possible scenarios. And, well, these are the best case ideal, topics that I can put in order to help someone else get through an experience of theirs. And like I said, I don't want to make it sound like hate or that stuff's like not right or nothing, or anything like that. But I really don't like profiting off of someone else's failures. Openly talk about it, openly have a conversation. And there's a lot of podcasts, a lot of YouTube channels too that like do this similar thing, have open discussions and just talk about these things, because it's or inviting guests to talk about things that they went through, if that was things in relationships, things with their parents, things with children, things with employers, things with, you know, obviously, like, if you had an older person on, things that they went through when it was segregation times, things that they may experience during wartime. Like, you know, how do you teach someone about perseverance from wartime? I knew someone, I'm not going to say his name, but I knew a guy that I work with, and he would tell us stories of, he went into the military, I'm pretty sure, like, after, like, high school, so 18. And he didn't really know what to expect. And when he went overseas, he said that he had to do things that no 18-year-old, let alone a human being in general, but that no 18-year-old should have had to experience. Like, being fresh, like, you know, from high school, and then now you're like, okay, you're finna step into adulthood. Like, you're, you know, like, no person in that mindset, like, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to take on the world, I'm ready to see what I'm gonna step into career-wise, I'm ready to learn new things, learn new skills. And he was distraught by what he had to do, and that at the end of the day, it was if you don't take this individual out, then they could take you out. They could take us out. they're a threat to America. And one of my favorite movies, American Sniper, it showed this very well. And I've had a conversation with some people and they'd be like, oh, I'm sure that's not, like, you know, 100% true, but the individual that I was just talking about, oh, he had to do this. But there's a scene, I forgot his last name. I know his name is Chris, but I forgot his last name in American Sniper, the actual soldier. But Bradley Cooper plays the guy Chris, and he was like one of the most decorated, like, snipers ever, like, in, you know, in U.S. Army history, SEAL history. And he had to, there was a woman and a child, and the woman handed a grenade to the child and had the child run toward the, you know, the soldiers that were on the ground. And, you know, just imagine, you get what I'm saying. Even within the podcast, even with you just listening, you get what I'm saying. You get what, as a grown man, you have to do in that situation. Show me a book about perseverance that helps that person out understand that what they had to do, there's a 5-step program into that. Nah. See, perseverance, it lives in everybody. It's already there. The only thing that helps perseverance come through is literally what I said in the beginning, life itself. Is going through it. You have to go through it. Your mind sometimes has to go to a place where it's never been before and understand that this can't be it. This can't be where I live. This can't be, and we're going to talk about me in this case, this can't be the end of Cameron. This can't be the end of the road. It's like, I've been homeless. I've had to live in my car. And it was crazy for me to continue to go to work every day. And then it was one day when we were having a meeting, like a crew meeting. And people were talking about, it was so unimportant that I kind of forgot. But, like, people were talking about, they were complaining just about, like, the restaurant. But, like, I had just got fed up with, we were just talking about things that just did not matter. And I'm so sorry, because I know, like, you want, like, the context and then obviously the storytelling aspect. But, like, it's so hard for me to remember, because it was, to me, it was so pointless. And I'm trying to just think of, like, a small example. Like, it could have been, like, people being, like, upset that, you know, we have, like, these 4-ounce cups and they needed to be, like, you needed to put, like, 10 packs of them underneath, make sure they're stocked. And, you know, people were only putting 9, you know. They weren't completely putting a 10. And it was little stuff like that, and I got kind of upset, and, you know, I didn't just, like, blurt it out, but I did, like, come up and say, like, dude, like, we're talking about, like, stuff that's really not important. Like, let's talk about, like, how to, like, you know, make people better than themselves. Let's talk about how to train people to be, like, better managers. I mean, like, well, like, how we're supposed to be great managers. Like, let's train new people now to be where we are so that then we can move on and we can open stores and we can yada, yada, yada. Like, I'm sitting here living in my car right now. I've been living in my car. And, like, you guys, like, we're over here talking about, like, freaking, you know, like, how a metal spoon is, like, a little bit and, like, that. Like, come on. Like, let's, and, you know, at that point, you know, it kind of got quiet. And people were shocked, I guess, because of the consistent energy that I came in with. No one would have assumed that I was living out of my car. No one would have assumed that I was homeless, because they're just like, how do you come to work and you're, like, one of the most happiest people all the time. You're always giving out good energy. You're never feeling, you would not, you don't seem like a person that is like going through something. And I'm like, because what's the point? First off, it's my problem. So why am I going to project that onto someone else? That's first thing first is it's my problems. I should not be projecting that onto someone else. But then second, it's like, I understood that in the moment I didn't. When I think about now, I'm like, oh, I can never let myself ever get back to that point. But in that moment, I'm just like, it could be worse. It could be worse. I could not have a car to sleep in. I could not work at a restaurant and have access to, you know, an employee meal. And, you know, when I'm in the kitchen and I'm taste testing everything, like those are my little meals that I have. I could not be working in the kitchen. I could be working in an office or something where food really isn't readily available. And, you know, I'm trying to get myself up out of this debt and I don't have money to eat. And a lot of days I didn't. Like, I just, you know, my I would work all day just so that I could get like two employee meals. And then, like, I would just, like, you know, take a little bowl home. And, but even though I didn't understand perseverance then, it was in me. It still existed in me. I had went through nothing like that. You know, that was my first experience. And even around that time, it was pretty, it was a lot of stuff happening. It was a lot of stuff. And I guess, I mean, the idea of this is perseverance. I mean, I guess I can kind of go ahead a little deeper with the story, but I had an ex-girlfriend who, you know, for about a year, she didn't really seem like she really wanted me. She was kind of popular, and I was a freshman in college. She was a senior in high school, and, you know, it took a lot. And, you know, even her family all were like, you know, just they saw that I was a good guy. And they were like, just, you know, just be patient, you know, give it time, you know, that eventually, you know, you see those things, especially from a woman's perspective. I think that you do see those things. Like, guys, we're kind of stupid. You know, we don't, it's guys don't really see a good thing until it's like gone. But in turn, that's kind of what happened. And then so kind of a whole year of that went. And then the subsequent month and a half was, the subsequent 6 months were rough because I was tired. And it was like I was done. Like, I put so much energy and effort in. It felt like nothing was given to me in return. Like, I put so much energy out there. And then it felt like she was falling, you know? But I was already tired. I was already done. And I know, like, some people would say, like, well, you kind of gave up. But a year of trying and always hearing people say things and say, like, oh, I saw her with this person. I saw her talking to this person, yada, yada, yada. There would be times where I would go out with my friends and then we would see her, but then she would act like I didn't exist. Like, it was like that, you know? And I was going through stuff with my family, so my mom had kicked me out of the house, and so I was living with her grandma, who had, like, a two-bedroom, like, apartment. And I told I wasn't happy. My friends all saw it. Everyone saw it. You know, I was very unhappy, and then I found out, so then I said that was, like, a subsequent 6 months later of me feeling tired. And then 3 months after that, so now we're going into being in a relationship for a year and like 9 months, I found out that she cheated on me with some dude that was going to like the military from like high school, from her class. But she would always tell me like I shouldn't worry about her. Like I was making a big deal. I needed to like stop talking about him, yada yada yada. And then I was so upset and so mad that I then cheated. And I didn't like that at all though. Like I felt horrible. Like I didn't know what emotions I was feeling. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm sure there's been people in a situation like you found out your partner's cheating, so then you cheated to like get payback, but then like it just didn't like it. No, you know what I mean? Like it didn't feel like what sex should feel like whatsoever. And so then I decided, which was a tough decision, because I was like, well, if I break up with her, I'm not going to be able to stay with her, grandma. You know, like, I mean, come on. I'm not going to be able to live here. And I had nowhere else to go. And I contemplated that for maybe 2 weeks. 2 weeks I contemplated that. And it was the longest 2 weeks of my life. And I decided, yeah, we couldn't be together. So we broke up. And then we talked on the phone. It's, I don't know if that was disrespectful or not for a relationship that was headed toward 2 years, but that night, that's when like her family all just turned on me. It was the most disrespectful thing I ever saw in my life up until that point. The most disrespectful. Knowing what I endured for a year, they heard all the stories. They knew everything that she was doing. And to tell me to be patient, to tell me to wait, to tell me, for me to be waiting with her family at her family events, and no one knows where she is or where she's coming from, and then she just pops in like, hey, and no one questions anything. For them to then turn on me and think that I was a bad guy because this is their little princess. And it was weird. Like I went to go get stuff from like their house that I had, and they had like her stepdad and her best friend, and who now they are happily married. So kudos to them. Best friend from like elementary school. Crazy. But all posted up. Like I was this like aggressive, like I was the aggressor. Like I've never been that type of person whatsoever. And it was the worst. I felt more bad about the reaction that I was getting than my current situation, which was I was going to be homeless. I'm like, people really are like, this is a little segue from the idea of perseverance, but it's, you know, my journal thoughts. That was kind of the moment where I didn't understand the putting family first. That's what spoiled my thinking of that, because I had never done anything to hurt her, to hurt their family, to hurt her siblings, nothing ever. And then for them to turn on me just because that's their daughter. You know, the one thing I really hate so much is the whole, you know, And I go through, I went through it with Jenny, but it's just, it's normal. But like, it's, you know, you meet the men and it's like, I was raised by a single mom, so I don't fear men. I don't fear fathers. And I fear mothers more than fathers. But like, oh, you gotta treat my daughter right, and if you don't, we're gonna like, bro, with all due respect, shut the hell up and get out of my face. Shut the hell up and get out of my face. Because I know for a fact that family comes before anything in this world, right? There's no matter what you go through, no matter what someone else put someone else through, family through thick and thin, right? And I can't. From that point forward, I never felt that. I always felt like people that really think like family comes first, you're crazy. It's about human beings. It's about human beings. If you're a good human being, I'm gonna treat you with respect. If you are my son, my daughter, and you treat somebody else disrespectfully, I love the hell out of you. I love the hell out of you. But I want you to know that you were the one that messed up. If I cross that other person that you were in a relationship, if I cross paths with them, I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to say, what's up? I'm going to always say, I hope you're doing well. And if they are doing well, I'm going to be happy and proud for them because you disrespected them. You put them through agony. You had to make them figure out what perseverance was. I had to persevere through a whole year and a half. Mentally, I always say this. Mentally, I was her bitch. It was hands down the worst relationship I was ever in. Psychologically, the worst. And that shit destroyed me. It destroyed me and it turned me into a camera that I did not like from the age of 21 to 24. I did not like who I was. I was a horrible person. I was a horrible man, horrible boyfriend to the girls I did date. I wasn't good. But with all the negativity about me that I just said, I persevered. I learned that I'm the only one that's in control of my future. I'm the only one that's in control of how people look at me. I'm the only one that's in control of my surroundings and my environment. I need to control every single aspect of my environment. And I'm learning. It's a hard skill. Maybe I'll have a master class one day about it, because it's pretty hard to control your environment, especially when there's like multiple people in it. Could be the Virgo in me. Oh my God, he's one of those people. He's gonna blame his horoscope or everything. Yeah, I love horoscopes. I really do. But it could just be the Virgo in me. I'm a very observant person of everything, of every situation, and I very much do overanalyze a lot. But I'm the only one that can control that. I'm the only one that can control my reality. So at the end of the day, it's just about, who do you want to become and how do you want to be remembered? You got to persevere through the bad shit, through the tough times. Make your story worth telling one day when it's all said and done. That's how I look at it. So thank you for coming to this episode of Cam's Corner with me. I really much appreciate it. And like we always do, like I always do, shout out to the last song that I'm going to be listening to on the podcast, which today is Warm Water by none other than Banks, who has been my number one artist for the past 3 years on my Apple Music. I saw her in concert for the first time last year, and she's amazing. I love her voice. I love her energy. I love her vibe. I just, I, I would hope one day that I can help collaborate on a music video with her. I want to just create a beautiful visual for her one day. And hopefully I'm putting it out there in the universe and it can happen. So, you know. But once again, thank you for coming to this episode of Cam's Corner Podcast, episode 3. And I will see you all again in the next episode. But make sure you are always cultivating a better place for all of us to live in. Peace.